Yeah, I thought I was going blind. And well, when you get older, you lose a lot of things, don't you? Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, open them up to Judges chapter number 8. Judges chapter number 8. Now, if you have a Scofield Bible, I'll help you out a little bit. It's on page 296. And keep you from thumbing. If you're like me, sometimes they'll, preachers, you know where they is in the Bible. But if I'm sitting down beside of another preacher, I don't know why, it gets me nervous. And they'll say, turn to Ezekiel. I couldn't find it to save my life. So I just quit being embarrassed and look in front of the book and find out where it's at. That's just it. Amen. But that will embarrass you. And then I just like doing sword drills when we was in Bible school. They used to say, turn to Hezekiah, chapter number 3. And oh, Lord, we'd be pursuing that. Judges chapter number 8. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to read one verse of scripture and give you a background of it. Now, I'm not going to read all the scriptures. I'll tell you why, for the sake of time. I do, and I'm a preacher that does to try to respect your time. I don't want to wear you out. I really don't. And I hope I don't tonight. I know a revival meeting, I usually preach a little longer than I do at my own church. But when the Lord's in it, it doesn't make no difference anyway. Is that right? I found out when the Lord's in it, you can preach as long as you want to and it won't wear people out. But when the Lord ain't in it, you sure can wear them out. You know that too. Them padded pews get awful hard, ain't that right? That stomach begins to growl. And you look around, well, whose stomach was that? Be young. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege, Lord, to come in here and preach you tonight. Now I pray, Lord, that you'd help me. Now I'm not here to show, Lord, anything that I know. I don't know nothing. Lord, you know all things. And Lord, you know the hearts and minds of people here tonight. And I pray, Lord, you'd use me to help them, dear God. And I do pray for one that may be here lost. I pray, Lord, that you'd save them before it's ever eternally too late. Now, Lord, I ask you tonight to help me, to help your people. And I thank you for everything that you're going to do, Lord, because we love you. And Lord, we do thank you for dying for us on the cross of Calvary. Lord, and forgiving us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Judges chapter number 8 and verse number 4. I could read some more of these scriptures here, but I won't. I'll sort of give you the background of them. Listen to what it says in Judges chapter number 8 and verse number 4. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. Now, Gideon, which is our main character in these verses, now the Bible says that he's known as the mighty man of valor. Now, Gideon came on the scene during a very dark time in the nation of Israel. If you study the history about it, the Midianites had came into their land. They had brought their false gods, brought their cattle to feed off the land. And the last verse in the book of Judges tells us why. It says in verse 25, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So they intimidated the Israelites at harvest time when they were growing their crops. They would come in and they'd take their harvest. They would come in and they would take what they wanted. Because of the Midianites now, the children of Israel moved from the plains where their fields were, and they made themselves dens in the mountains to hide. In other words, they just got sick and tired of them Midianites taking everything that they had. And it's evidenced by this that the children of Israel did not have the character to put up too much of a resistance to this evil invading of their land. In other words, they were just tired. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Daniel that what the devil tries to do and he will do is to wear out the saints of God. He says that he's going to do that, and he'll do that. Many of you know already know where I'm headed for. Sometimes we're tired. Sometimes we get weary in the battle. Sometimes the battles get tough, and the devil's simply wearing us out. He's trying his best to wear us out. Now, a careful study of this book will show that the Midianites were sent there to oppress the children of Israel. Judges chapter 6 says the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. I want to say that sin always brings unnecessary suffering. Sin always burdens us and not bless us. As one writer said, let all that sin expect to suffer. Now, their sin was not hidden from God. I know sin is. He knows all about us. Now, we may conceal our deeds and our thoughts from man, but never will we conceal them from God. Amen. Now, so we see the Midianites was the rod of God's chastening hand. He used the Midianites to chasten the children of Israel. Now, in Judges chapter 6 through 8, don't turn there. But let me read it to you. Now, if you want to write these scriptures down and see for yourself when you get home, that's fine with me. But Judges 6 and verses 6 through 8, we see that the ruin, what the ruin had upon the Israelites as seen from these verses. In other words, what had happened to Israel, it produced prayer. Now, and the children of Israel, listen to what it says, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. In other words, they watched as the Midianites stripped their land, they watched them bear their land at harvest time. They watched them as they stole their cattle. And finally, they got around to praying to God, to the Lord. And see, I do believe when you're walking in disobedience to the Lord, most people have little interest in prayer. Do you know that? But God sometimes sends chastening hands upon you so it'll produce prayer in your life. Sometimes a tragic may happen. You say, well, why is it? And it's simply because we're not praying to God like we should. See, God expects you to talk to him whether you believe that or not. He expects you to pray sometime during that day. You should have a quiet time with God and pray to God. And sometimes these trials come to produce prayer in our life. And second of all, this trial that this chastening hand of God that put on the children of Israel, it not only produced prayer, but it produced preaching. See, the Lord sent a prophet, that's what the Bible says, to do some preaching, who said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. He says, ye have not obeyed my voice. You see, it produced prayer. It produced preaching. It was a message of rescue. In other words, God reminded Israel that he had rescued them from the great trouble in the past, and that he was also able to rescue them from the Midianites. So it produced a message of rescue. Then it produced a message of responsibility. They were not to go after other gods. See, we have a responsibility to be faithful to God. Ain't that right? Anything that puts you before God, that you put before God, no matter what it is, that becomes your God if you put it before God. So it produced a message of responsibility. Then it was a message of rebellion towards God. See, the message rebuked Israel for their rebellion. See, God commanded them not to go after other gods. This message told Israel what their main trouble was, where they most needed help, and what they ought to be praying about first. So you can see what their problems were. And now look about you today. Are these not our same problems that we have today? I do believe that our nation is approaching darkness. Our churches are approaching nightfall, and the midnight hour is fastly coming. The devil is stripping our land. He's stealing our children. When are we going to get back to prayer? When are we going to get back to just preaching, thus saith the Lord? Sometimes we compromise on that, don't we? Amen. Don't want to hurt feelings. Don't want to rock the boat. Ain't that right? But you've got to have good, solid, I'm talking about solid preaching from the Word of God for you to ever grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. So, now getting back to the message. The stage is now set, and God's going to answer their prayer. Now Gideon now comes on the scene now to deliver Israel. Now, in verses, chapter number 6 and verse number 11, it says this right here. In 11 and 12, it says, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertaineth to Joshua the Abizite, and his son Gibeon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Now Gideon now, as we see, God's preparing him for battle. I'm pretty sure most of us know the story now. And he comes on the scene and he begins to prepare that battle. In verses 6, chapter 6 and chapter 7, read that when you get home. In other words, when Gideon blew his trumpet to call Israel to battle, 32,000 showed up. And I can hear Gideon now. "Well, boys, we're just going to beat the devil out of them boys. We're going to get them out of our land. We're going to take back what's rightfully ours." But God said unto Gideon, he said, "That's too many men, Gideon. They will be lifted up in pride and they will say we did it ourselves." So God said, "Reduce them." He says, "Get rid of the fearful and get rid of the faint-hearted first." And then 22,000 left. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "That's still too many. Take them down into the water and I will take them." Then the Lord said to Gideon, "That's still too many. Take them down to the water and I will get them for thee there. I will try them." In other words, he was going to try them. In chapter 5 and verse number 7, this test eliminated those who were careless and lacked caution. In other words, he told them to drink that water. And when they did, so he says in verse 5, "So he brought down the people into the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, Every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Like one, every one that boweth down upon the knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink." In other words, that's a common thing. What they done was they just bowed down like this and stuck their head in the water and drank. But the other ones bowed down on one knee and lapped that water up like that. And God said, "You use them." You know why? It's because they were looking around as they were getting that water. He knew that they was the ones that he could trust. They were watching out for the enemy, those Midianites. That's the reason why he took those 300 men. Now, Gideon didn't stop him. He pursued the Midianites even when the odds were against him, and God gave him victory. See, Gideon could have stopped there. He won the victory, yet he knew he had to get to the source of the problem. He had to get to the two kings that were the leaders of the Midianites that caused the oppression of the Israelites. And you know what I believe sometimes I believe that we give up too soon. I really do. We're living in a time when the devil is wearing out the saints of God. I want you to know this. This is not like the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. It started in the 90s, really, where God was wearing out the saints of God. There's probably not a good church. I'm talking about a good church. Don't get into flesh or anything like that. That's what I'm talking about. Follows God. I mean, preaches the word of God. You're not going to see too many people saved. You say, why is that, preacher? It's because we are geared now for more entertainment than we are preaching the word of God. Entertainment is easy, but preaching the word of God will wear you out. And so it's easy to appeal to the flesh more than it is to appeal to the spirit. And so I want you to notice carefully these words now, and I'll get into the message, that the Holy Spirit breathed out upon the pages of this blessed book that will be a reminder forever about a true man of valor. This is what it says. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and 300 men that were with him. Notice what it says. Faint, yet pursuing them. Now I want to preach a message on faint, yet pursuing. Now I think the reason here, the lesson here for you and I today is not to be too quick in claiming victory. Don't be too quick in giving up, giving in, or giving out. We all get weary. We all get tired. There's a time when I wanted you just to give up, throw in the towel. I've said time and time again, Lord, what's the use? Where's the victory? Where's the help at, Lord? But yet, when I see these words, faint, yet pursuing, it does something on the inside of me. It's like fire to my bones. It makes me want to carry on. It makes me want to fight the good fight of faith. It makes me want to pray more. It makes me want to do more. Just these simple words written forever in God's word, faint, yet pursuing. Now I can honestly say, if the Lord would have asked me a while back, how's things going? I would have probably said, I'm tired, Lord. I just want to quit. But after reading this story right here about Gideon, I believe if he'd asked me today, I'd say the same thing. Lord, I'm tired, but I would use these words right here. Lord, I'm faint, yet I'm pursuing. I'm still going to go on. I'm still not going to quit. I may say it, but Lord, I'm tired and I'm weary. I'm faint, yet pursuing. So I want to preach today on some things we should be pursuing. Faint, yet pursuing. I think we should be pursuing our faithful commander. You see, the word pursuing means to run after, to chase, to follow. See, the promises of God is, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Was there a time in your life, friend, when prayer was sweet, when fellowship was wonderful? There was a time when you looked to Christ for everything. You followed Him. You pursued after Him. But now you barely tag along. You wait till tragedy comes before you even pray. You're pursuing Christ as our faithful commander is seen in your faithfulness. Do you believe that? Yeah, it is. Are you faithful to the Lord? Your faithfulness is seen by your presence. Your faithfulness is felt by your witness. Your faithfulness is heard by others. Are you pursuing the Lord? Is it seen in your faithfulness? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Ain't that right? I'm talking about we all get tired. Ain't that right? I'm tired on Wednesday night, and I'm a full-time pastor. But I want to tell you this right here. It takes a lot to get sermons together. And I'm tired on Wednesday night, but I'm saying this right here. Sometimes we don't come on Wednesday night because we're tired. Sometimes we don't come on Wednesday night because we think everything's going to be dead. I've had some wonderful services on Wednesday night. But it's seen. Are you faint? Are you tired? Are you pursuing? You're pursuing Jesus Christ, our faithful commander. He's seen in your obedience. God's spoken to your heart about something, and you haven't done it yet. Samuel says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Verse 23 of Samuel said, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery. Should be tired. I can ask for a show of hands tonight. Some of you are burdened down with problems. Some of you about ready to quit. I don't know. Some of you about ready to throw in the towel. Some of you have just about quit altogether. You're missing just a little here and a little there. And I'll be honest with you. The way that churches are getting today is kind of bad. You know that? I mean, we harbor up bitterness and jealousy and all that stuff in our hearts. And we gossip and we talk and we do all these other things. And we get tired, and it's tired. I'm like old David. I'm like him old prophets. Sometimes I'd like to see the chastening hand on some of the lost, wouldn't you? I mean, I'd like to see God wind their clock up just a little bit. I'd like to see some chastening hands on the children of God. We read about it all in the Bible. God says He chastens whom He loveth. Ain't that right? Ain't that what the Bible says? And yet we can go out and we can do this and we can lollygag around. Sure, we're tired. Sure, we're weary. But that does not make a liar out of the Bible. God chastens whom He loves. I think about so many people. I think about so many Bible examples I could give you them. People after people. Paul was weary. He went into a city and he looked at those cities. He says, none of these things move me. He was tired. Paul was getting ready to get out. He said he'd rather be in heaven. Ain't that what he said? He said, I'd rather be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. He was tired and he was weary. There's a lot of Bible examples that I could give you. There's a lot of people in this world today that's kept this old preacher going. There's preachers that fought battles and stayed and stood by the stuff. And I look up to them. And I know they're tired and I know that they're weary. But yet they're faint, yet they're pursuing on. They're still preaching the gospel message. They're still pastoring their church. And they're doing a good job. I think of so many. I think about this couple right here that came. They're members of our church. I want to say this right here. This man has stood with me through thick and thin. He's put something with me. This man right here stood with me. He's a preacher out of my church. Stood with me through thick or thin. They tired. This man right here and his wife right here goes to our church. They haven't seen their son in 15 years. He just vanished off the scene one day. They don't know where he is or nothing. There's no doubt in my mind. Prayer after prayer after prayer, year after year, month after month, they have prayed, they have asked God to help them. They're tired and they're weary, but bless God, they're still in the battle, they're still faint, but they're still pursuing onward. They're gone, they ain't quitting. I have never, out of the whole 11 years I've pastored them, ever had I had to go down to their house and ask them why they wasn't in church. This young man right here, this preacher, is the same way. Thank God for people that's just going to stand by the stuff. Faint, yet pursuing. Time in my life when I was about ready to give up. I mean, trouble on every hand, it seemed like. And didn't think anybody was going to join the church. Then up come Paul and Heather. Y'all know them, Paul and Heather Henry. I mean, they put something in me. I mean, I was tired. I was about ready to give up. But now when they come in, I thank God that they joined the church. They're good, faithful members. They come. I mean, they help me out. I'm the type of person, I make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I can't sing. If I started singing now, y'all would leave. I guarantee you would. But I'll say this right here. I sit beside him in the choir, and he makes me want to sing out loud. He put something inside of me. When I'm tired and when I'm weary, He put something inside me that makes me want to sing to the Lord. Sure I'm tired. And sure you're tired.
But the Bible says these men right here, they will faint. They were about ready to give up. But the Bible says, yet pursuing. In other words, they were going on in spite of what it is. I mean, people leave church because they hear a little gossip and all that other stuff. I ought to write a book, what I ought to do. I mean, really, about what things people say about preachers and what things people blame on. Preacher is the most misunderstood man in your church. Sometimes. They can, if you get a little bit all on God, you add words to what he said, you interpret it out of your new NIV mind.
Yeah.
And it'll come out. It'll come out the way that you want it to come out.
Good preaching, brother.
Faint yet pursuing. Then we should be pursuing our fallen comrade. And in Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now that word restore, used in the Greek, is a word used for setting a broken bone. In other words, you do it gently. Look around you today. Is there an unoccupied seat that was once set in by a brother or a sister that stepped over the divine boundaries? I think about Abraham and I think about Lot. There was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee. He said, the whole land is before thee. If you want the right, I'll take the left. If you want the left, I'll take the right. We know about Lot. He dwelled in the well water plains. And after a while, he got himself captured. Read the Bible. And we find in the Bible, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. You know what 1 John tells us? It says, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. I remember one time, not too long ago, it's been a couple of years ago, Brother Mark, I was in my study, and you know how it is preparing messages. And I prayed and I looked, I prayed and I looked, I prayed and I looked, I prayed and I read, I prayed and I read, could get nothing. And I got to feeling sorry for myself. And I said, God, I want to give up. I'm tired of this. I can't keep doing this. I said, I'm just wearing myself out. I said, I don't want to do it. And I remember this right here, and it was one of them real hard battles. You know what I mean? Just an old personal battle. Nobody ever knows you go through it. You know what I'm talking about? You come in with a smile on your face, but really, we're hypocrites, ain't we? The devil's done fought with us, done bit us 2 or 3 times that night, woke us up and told we wasn't worth nothing. No, and we believed every word of him. The Bible says he's a liar. Yeah, I don't know why we believe him. I mean, I don't even know why I listen to him. He's always lying.
Yeah.
But some of his lies sound good, don't they?
Yeah,
yeah they do. That's the reason why we fall in sin. Because his lies sound so good. He's a master of it. But I remember this. I remember getting mad. And I was really mad at God. But in my own little old mind, I didn't want God to think I was mad at him. So I took it out on my wife.
There you go. Yeah.
See, that's what we do.
Yeah.
Or take it out on our children. You know what I mean? You know, shut up. I'm busy. I'm in here studying, trying to get something from God. Keep your big mouth shut. And ain't that sounds good? You know what I'm talking about? Then you shut the door and God says, nah, ain't that something?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we got to go out and humble ourselves. We don't want to do that in front of our wives. Now, we'll do it to anybody, but we don't like to tell our wife, hey, listen, I made a mistake. Because we know our wives. Most times they say, yeah, you did. You made a big one. It'll take at least 3 days to get over this. Ain't that right? They ain't like me and you. I can forgive them like that right there. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Sometimes that don't do no good. But I remember I was mad. Now I remember I I just got my little old Ford Ranger. I had a Ford Ranger then. Now I went up to a store and I got this track. And I was thanking God. I was thanking to myself going up there. I said, you ain't done nothing for me. It seemed like you're not even helping me to preach or anything like that. And I said, God, what have you ever done for me? Just like that. And I was mad. Went up to a store, paid for my merchandise, and got this tract right here. And it says, what has God ever done for you? That's no lie. I'm not telling you no lie. This is a true story. I put that track. I said, this is going to help me out. I really did. I didn't know what it was. I went out there to my truck. I throwed it over there like that in my seat. And I got to looking at it. And I picked it up and I said, this thing's going to help me out right here. What's God ever done for you? And I looked, opened it up, and it was the simple plan of salvation. And I thought to myself when I was reading that, God, what's that got to do with me? I'm needing some help. I'm tired and I want to quit. I need some reassurance. I need something. And right then and there in that truck, as I began to ride down the highway, God began to give me some thoughts. He flowed back the curtains of my mind and took me back to where I was a lost boy. Lost without God. And I wrote down three little things about it. I thought about in His sovereignty how that God protected me. That was the first thing, you know. I thought about how in my mother's womb He knew me. I thought about why I could have been a victim of abortion. My mama could have aborted me. I said, but God knew me. Then I thought about how in His creation He watched me. I thought about when I was over in Vietnam and how that God watched me through that whole year and protected me. And I began to mellow then. What's God ever done for me? What's God ever done for you? I thought about that. I thought about how in His love He wooed me. I remember the Sunday morning, brokenhearted, just an old alcoholic. Come to church. Came there several times and got hooked on the Word of God. Wanted to know that. And I thought about how that His Holy Spirit came and wooed me. And showed me love like I've never seen before. And brought me out of that hell that I was in and put me on a solid rock. I thought about that. And I began to chipper up a little bit. Then I thought about how in His Son He placed me. See, now my life is hid with Christ. In other words, locked together with Christ. In other words, permanently hidden with Christ. It says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. Then I thought about how in His second coming, when He comes back again, I've been left out of a lot of things in my life. But I won't be left out of the rapture. Amen. And I thought about that. And the Holy Spirit says, what's God ever done for you? And I said, everything. I said, everything. He put life in my heart. I mean, He put life in this old body. He put joy and peace where there was nothing. He gave me a home when all I had was a house. He gave my wife a brand new husband. Amen? He gave my children a brand new daddy. And I thought to myself, no matter how hard I get, no matter how tired I get, no matter how weary I get, for somehow, if I have to crawl to the pulpit and preach the Word of God, yeah, sometimes I'm faint, But what's going to be said of me, and I hope is said of you, is yeah, they're tired, but yet they're pursuing on. They're marching on for the Lord. A lot of people quit by the wayside so many times. Then lastly, and I'm through, we should be pursuing our forgotten captives. You know what the Bible says in Luke 19:10? For the Son of Man is coming to seek and to save that which was lost. Many on the streets today in homes across the nations, our towns, I believe they feel forgotten by people who claim to be Christians. We need to let them know that we care. When's the last time you sat down one-on-one and witnessed to someone? Are you waiting on someone else to do that? Do you feel the odds are against you? You try to push them out of the mind. You know, I can't quit tonight. Sometimes I want to. I'm being honest with you. Sometimes you want to too. But you know what I think about? Think about this more often than I've ever thought about it before. Who's going to pray for my children? I think about my mother. My mother is lost. And I look at her, 70-some years old, and I see the wrinkles, time on her face. I see the dimness in her eyes that used to sparkle. It's gone now. And she's lost without God. Who's going to pray for her if I get tired and quit? What's going to happen to her if I say, if she sees me, she says, what are you doing now? Oh, I'm working so-and-so. Don't you preach anymore? No, I gave it up. What's going to happen to my brother, my sister that's lost, my loved ones that are lost, when they say, what's wrong? What happened to old Ted? He just got tired and he quit. You know, that's what's wrong with a lot of us tonight, if we're real honest. We just got tired. We don't have the burden for the lost as we once had. We don't even have the burden for our loved ones like we used to have. We don't say, hey, listen, would you mind just getting ready? And I bought you a new shirt. Give him a little shirt or give him a tie, something to wear, something new. Say, won't you come to church with me? Just a little simple thing like that. But no, we get ready ourselves, make sure we're all looking fine and good and walk out the door and leave them behind. And in their minds, I wonder, do they say, reckon old mama really cares about me? Daddy cares about me? See, in their mind, I'm telling you, young people want to know the truth. They want to know the truth. Sometimes we get tired and we get weary. Sometimes we do. You say, well, preacher, what's wrong with that? We all get that way. I know it. But the main thing of it is, when you get tired and weary, don't quit. Keep pursuing on. Amen. Don't give it up. There's somebody out there. There's people that the devil's dragging into hell by chains. You could say by boxcars, by busloads, he's taking them to hell. Because somebody along the way got tired and got weary and they quit. They just quit witnessing, quit reading the Bible, they quit praying. I guarantee if we were honest with ourselves, and I found out one thing, you've got to be honest with yourself and honest with God before He can even work with you. If I ask for raise of hands tonight, say, how many of you are tired and weary? Don't witness no more. Don't have no joy when you come into the house of God. Don't have no peace in your heart. And you leave just like you come in, empty. We have hewn out chisels that hold no water. We're weary. I don't want to die like that, friend. I want to die on the battlefield, don't you? Some way, somehow, when my children pass by my body, I want them to say, oh, Daddy never quit. He kept right on preaching. Daddy never quit praying. I know he prayed for me. He never gave up. He never walked out. He stood by the stuff when nobody else was standing with him. He stood by what he thought was right, what the Bible says. I want my kids to say that about me. I don't care what anybody else says about me. I just want my kids to say that. I want them to know that their daddy was a man of God that didn't quit. You want your children, don't you? You have any children? You want them to say, hey, listen, my old grandmother, I'll never forget her. She had an unusual witness. When I'd go down to her house as a lost boy, she carried me to church when I was little, made sure I went to church. Mom and Daddy never did do that, but she did that. And I remember hearing her many times on the telephone preaching to my daddy, telling him, hey, you need to get them kids in church and you need to quit that drinking and get on in church yourself. I remember seeing him cry and weep on the phone as she had witnessed to him. Here's an old woman, 80-something years old, died of a heart attack. I remember many times going down to her house, sitting on the couch. She'd be reading her Bible, and she'd look over them rims and them glasses. She said, I didn't see you Sunday. I said, Mama, I called her Mama. I said, Mama Lewis, that's her name was Lewis. Called her Mama Lewis. I said, Mama Lewis, don't start on me about that church. She said, well, I just wanted to let you know I didn't see you Sunday. And I'd walk out of there sometime crying because she was witness to me. She just had God on her. I thought to myself, here's an old woman, faint, battle-scarred, kept on going for the Lord even down to death. Kept on going for the Lord. Just kept on going for the Lord. I remember a black preacher I was reading about, John Jasper. You ever read about him? Now that he was getting ready to go on, he was dying, and he stood up in his bed and he saluted to heaven like this right here. He said, John Jasper, Lord, waiting for further orders, laid down and died. Here's a man that went through heartaches, hardships, faint, yet pursuing. He kept on. How are you tonight? Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Let's stand to our feet. Tish, you come on up and play the piano, if you would, or something on the piano. Now listen, you need to be honest with God. You're tired tonight. Things got you down. Wave your heads bowed and everybody's looking around. And you say, preacher, I need something in my life. I'm so tired, it's pitiful. I'm weary, and I want to give up. Why don't you come on and let God help you? You can pray tonight. You can come on and pray. You're tired, you're weary. Come on, let God do something for you tonight. While these is already praying, God spoke to your heart. Maybe you're here and you're lost and you don't know God. Why don't you come and make things right and get saved tonight? Why don't you do that? Father, I've done all that I could do. It's up to you, Holy Spirit. I pray that you would go in and out of these pews and touch the hearts of people, Lord, that are tired and they're weary and about ready to give up. I pray you'd do something in their life. I pray you would renew them, dear God. I pray that you would help them. Lord, we'll thank you for everything you do. Brother Mark, you come on.